If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. And after you do that, make sure you turn over and you're the other side of the order of service is our handout for the morning with taking some notes, if you would. Well, this is part three of our 2018 Christmas series. The first week we kind of gave an overview, and last week we began looking at some of the ones that we would say probably less significant characters in the Christmas story. When I say less significant, I mean it's not Mary, Joseph, and it's not the baby. Last week we looked at the innkeeper, and certainly he fit into that category. He had no lines in the Bible. He's not mentioned at all other than the fact that it said there was no room for them in the inn. We're assuming he's the one who said that, but his words are not recorded. Today we're going to look at the shepherds. And you would say, well, they were a major part. And that's, when you think of the Christmas story, they're probably one of the groups of characters that you think of the most. But in some ways, they're not, obviously not as significant as the mother and father and the baby. But in kids' plays, they usually just have a small part. Sometimes you'll see them sitting around a fire. Sometimes you'll see them marching with their little staffs, dressed like shepherds, we would imagine to appear. But they don't have a whole lot of lines. But there are some things, I believe, that we can learn from these very common workers. They didn't have a prestigious career. They weren't the ones who made any arrangement for the angels to appear. And we certainly wouldn't have set up angels to appear to a group of shepherds, probably. But there were some valuable lessons that we can learn from them. So if you have Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 8 through 20. That's the shepherd's story. And I'm reading again out of the English Standard Version. There's a copy of that, the blue paperback. If you want to follow along with exactly what I'm reading, you might have the King James or NIV, NASB. But if you want to follow along, just what I'm reading, it's the blue paperback there, where you can follow along in your Bible. It says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. All who heard it, what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of year. We were so moved by the Christmas story to think of this baby being born for the sole purpose of dying for us. We're grateful today for the plan from eternity to send Jesus to take on human form, the human characteristics, human body, to give that body for us. And Lord, we just pray as we look at the story of the shepherds today that you would teach us from your word what you want us to see. And Lord, maybe gain some new insights into a very familiar story. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, as I said, there's some things I think that we can learn if we're willing to see what they did. They were, number one, they were just doing their jobs. They're just out doing their work. Where would you expect to see shepherds? You wouldn't expect them to, you know, downtown in a hotel watching a football game. You wouldn't expect to see them wandering the streets if they're supposed to be working. You expect them to be out in the field. And that's what they're told. Behold, the shepherds were out in the fields watching their flocks. And that's what would you expect to be doing? The second question, what would you expect shepherds to be doing? Is to be watching their flocks by night if it's dark out, and they'd be watching them during the day if it was light out. And these men were simply doing their jobs. Nothing spectacular. And I believe, or I would imagine, I don't know for sure, but I would expect that these shepherds, when they clocked in that night, they didn't expect this to be anything different than a normal night at work. They didn't expect, I'm sure, because I don't think it happened too many times, many other evenings before, where a group of angels appear to them with this message. We know it never had that message before, but we're not told in Scripture that angels ever had this, or shepherds ever had this experience before. Maybe some nights were a little bit more adventurous than others. If they saw a wild animal or they heard it out off in the distance, maybe that was a little bit more of an on-guard type thing. Nights of storms and wandering sheep probably added to the adventure of the night, but those were pretty normal nights. If you were a shepherd, you would go to work expecting that type of thing to happen, that your sheep are going to wander, perhaps a storm would kick up. Your job was to watch the sheep, and that's what they went to work expecting, just a normal routine of their job. And you know, that's how God desires to work in our lives. He expects us to do the normal, ordinary routines. He doesn't normally speak to us in spectacular public events. He doesn't usually send out thunder and lightning. Matter of fact, the Word of God tells us he's usually in the still, small, and quiet voice. And I want you to think that the times that God has spoken to you most regularly, and I'm not talking about the audible sound. I've never heard that. I've had people who have heard people, not friends, personal friends of mine, but speakers say, I've heard God's voice. I never have heard that, but I certainly have heard him speak to me through his word. And I want you to think of the times when God has most often spoken to you. It's probably been in your own personal quiet time when you sat down with just the Bible and perhaps a journal in your lap. Perhaps it's been in a church service such as this, or in a Sunday school class, or a small group. Go to sign up for Russ's. I'm looking forward to that. I love small group ministries, so I'm excited about doing this. And I would expect God to speak to our hearts, either when we meet together or when we're reading on our own. Russ has said he learns something new all the time. That's God speaking to him. Perhaps it's just as you study God's word. Maybe it's as you listen to a worship song on the radio or a CD or however you listen to them now over your computer. Perhaps it's just through a walk in the woods. I've had hunters tell me, and probably some of you, let me just ask that. How many of you have been out hunting? It might be 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and you're just there, and you're maybe just praying. Maybe you're praying for the biggest buck you've ever seen to come through. I don't know what your prayers are like when you're up in the things up in the trees, but how many of you have felt God speak to you out in nature? Anybody? Okay. A lot of us have. I do when I love going to the beach. The beach is one of my favorite places to be. We go usually a couple weeks a year, and if we go out early in the morning, sometimes I'll go out by myself, but just to go stand by the ocean and just hear the waves and just look out and realize God created that and how insignificant I am compared to just the ocean, let alone the world, but just the ocean. And that's when God normally speaks to us. He speaks to us in our quiet times, not just our Bible quiet times, but just those quiet times when we're alone with him, because God will speak to us when we're doing what he calls us to do. He speaks to us when we serve him faithfully at the job he's given us to do, the job that he's provided for us. I don't know if any of you watched, I wrote it down, it was The Terror in Jonestown. Did anybody watch that? It was on TV a couple weeks ago, a documentary. It was a whole story. It was just in the last 6 months. I know they've been promoting it. The story of Jim Jones and the People's Church. And if you remember that tragedy back, I think it was in the 80s. I watched it because I remembered it very well. And it told the story of Jim Jones. And they said Jim Jones was this charismatic, vibrant preacher. And I maybe he was, but every time I saw him on television, I just thought he was an idiot. He very arrogant, and you remember that he proclaimed himself to be God. He started off, I think, as a good guy, and then somewhere along the line, between drugs and alcohol and stuff, they said he was very much an addict when he was leading the church. But he began to have this phobia that everyone was out to get him in the San Francisco, Los Angeles area. So he gathered up his church, which was several thousand people at that point, and moved them all to Guyana. They moved from San Francisco. And he sent a group of people down to spot out this land, and they were way out in the middle of the jungle. And he brought all of his people from San Francisco 900 ended up dead, but over 1,000 people came with him, and they gave them work to do. And they said it was hot, it was miserable, there were snakes, it was really hot and humid, people were dropping, they didn't have enough to drink. And he said they just had them clearing trees. And the people all left their work in San Francisco, family, jobs, and career, and their homes, to go to this utopia that Jim Jones promised them in Guyana. Well, as they worked for several days, turning into weeks and months in Guyana, clearing trees and just working that, they realized this utopia was not what he promised. But they interviewed people, and again, this was all documented stuff. They interviewed people, and though they hated the work, they said, it's fulfilling. We have something to do. And that reminded me just that even if it's not a spiritual job that you have, you can have fulfillment in that. That's what they said. They found peace and tranquility in their work in the jungle. They ended up dead. If you remember, he had them drink the Kool-Aid. 900 people. But I think Jim Jones was onto it. He realized they had to be working. They had to have something to do, or they would have lost everyone. Even if it was difficult, difficult work out in the heat of the jungle, they had a job to do. And that's what the shepherds were doing. They simply went out and did the task that was at hand for them. They were doing their jobs. We can learn from that. Number two, they believed God's message. As they worked in the fields that night, the night sky was suddenly lit up by the angelic appearance. It's one of the neat things at Three Springs the other night. I knew it was coming because they did it the last time I was there. You could see the shepherds were off on the side, and everybody walked around past them, and they were all gathered by the fire. And I tried to point out to some people, I could see some glistening up in the tree, so I knew the angel was there. And then the music played, and the light came up on the angel. That was a neat reenactment. But imagine, because we knew it was going to happen. If you were a shepherd that night, and that happened to you, you probably would have been a little bit frightened. So I think it was a good thing that they said, do not be afraid. The sky was lit up, and they were given this concert by this angelic choir. I've often said there's several nights or several times in history that I'd love to go back and see. I would love to have seen the Gettysburg Address live. If I could go back, I would love to see that. But this is probably the number one time on my list that I would want to see. And I would want to go back to the night of Jesus' birth knowing what we know now. Because the people of that day, they would never have gone out and looked for shepherds in the field. They wouldn't have thought they were a thing important. They wouldn't have found a manger scene. They would have thought, you know, what's this couple doing out in a manger? They're not very important. But going back from what we know now would be awesome to go back and find the shepherds and to go talk to Simeon and Anna and find Mary and Joseph maybe before they went into labor. But it would be neat to go back and just be there that night and just kind of stand back and just wait for the angels to appear and just watch the shepherds' response. But this is always one of the highlights of any Christmas play. Whether it's a soundtrack or you have a group of 10 or 12 kids dressed like angels and they come out and sing this song, Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men. But before the song happened, before the song, which is what we celebrate, we think about the angelic choir, but before the song came, the shepherds were given this message by the angels that said, unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, as they heard this, and then the choir sang, the shepherds faced a choice. What are we going to do? Now, we're not told that they debated it. We're not told that they said, this is a dream, or maybe if we were there that night, we would have said a nightmare, not just a dream. It was something spectacular. It wasn't a nightmare. They didn't talk about the pros and cons of anything good coming out of the city of David. They didn't debate that. But they faced a choice. We can believe what we've been told, or we can just imagine that this was all just a vision that we all got, and it was some kind of a scary, scary moment. But it says they chose to do something. It said, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened. And I capitalized this, because I want you to catch this. They didn't say this thing that the angels told us about. These, we would think of them being uneducated laborers. They said, not what the angels, which the Lord has made known to us. They believed what the angels said was directly from God. That's pretty impressive. And we're told that they went with haste, because in Scripture, belief demands a response. And the shepherds made that choice. They could have said, this was a vision. It wasn't. They didn't say it was some extraterrestrial appearance. It was the Lord who spoke to us. We don't see them arguing with one another and saying, did you see the same thing? Did you see what I said? What did we have to eat earlier today? Because if it's not a dream, if you saw the same, we don't see them doing that. They made haste, and they realized it was the Lord that spoke to them. So what was necessary for the shepherds to go and find this family? I just wrote down some things, and I meant to put them on the screen. I forgot to do that. So let me just read a couple things that I wrote down. They had to act quickly and not miss the event, because it said it was born this day. Shepherds didn't know what time of the day it was born. Maybe it was early in the morning. Maybe it's just as the shepherd or the angels appeared to us. We don't know, but it's born this day. We need to get out there. We need to go find this child. We need to find out what's happening. So they had to act quickly. Second, they had to leave the sheep. And unless they were the owner of the sheep, this was their job. They were paid to stay with the sheep. They were taking a chance. They could have lost their jobs. But I believe they trusted God to protect the sheep while they were obedient to him. Third is they had to make a search. And this is one of those other times, I hate to blow our Christmas ideas out of the water, but there was no star that night. We don't see a star in this passage at all. A star did not lead the shepherds. The shepherds had to find the family on their own. God, I'm sure, led them in a particular way, but we don't see the star anywhere in this story. Fourth, they had to believe that this was a different baby. Are we going into town just to see a kid, a newborn child? Is that why we're leaving our sheep? Was this really the Savior? And I believe along with that is they had to know some of the Old Testament promises about the Savior, because Isaiah had predicted it. There was other places that talked about the Messiah coming. I believe they were students of the Word of God. They were not unrefined, undignified learners. First, they saw the vision, and then they believed what was given to them as they were doing their work. Number three, excuse me, they spread the news that was given to them. Verse 17 says, they made known. These guys were really the first missionaries of the good news. That's what the gospel is, the good news. And that's what the angel said. We bring you good news. So these shepherds did not waste any time. They made haste. They went and found Mary, Joseph, and the baby. And I'm sure they did bow down. But I put up here, they did not have time to go for evangelism training. They didn't stop at the Bible College of Bethlehem and enroll quickly before they went to the manger. They had a message that was given to them, and they took it. They simply shared the good news that was given to them. What do you think about their effectiveness in their missionary work, in their evangelism work? Was it effective? Well, we're told all who heard it wondered. All who heard them talking about what the angels had told them, when it talks about wondered, they questioned it. They didn't just think, oh, these guys are crazy. They questioned it, and they wanted to find out more about it on themselves. Matthew Henry wrote this about this event. He says, this being a day of good tidings, we dare not hold our peace. So they made known abroad the whole story of what was told them, both by the angels and by Mary and Joseph concerning the child, that he was in fact the Savior, even Christ the Lord, that in him there is peace on earth, and he was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost and born of a virgin. The angels appeared and just told them there's a Savior that's born to us. The shepherds had to know the Old Testament prediction of it being born to a virgin. And then they met the virgin and the one that she was engaged to or married to. And then they heard a whole story from them about that. This they told everybody. And they agreed in their testimony concerning it. And now, if and when he is in the world knows him not. It is not our fault, for we have sufficient notice given to others. He asked this question. He said, what impression did it make upon the people? All they who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Listen to this. He says, the shepherds were plain, downright, honest men, and they could not suspect them guilty of any design to oppose upon them. In other words, he was saying the people who heard it weren't thinking these guys were out to get money. They weren't doing it for any other reason other than they were honest men who were given a message to deliver. What they said, therefore, was likely to be true. And if true, they could not but wonder at it, that the Messiah would be born in a stable and not in a palace, that angels would bring good news, or bring this good news to poor shepherds and not to chief priests. They wondered, but never inquired any further about the Savior. That was their duty. That was the advantage, the people that they were talking to. That was the advantage they had. But they let this thing drop as a 9 days wonder. I had to look that up. I wasn't sure what a 9 days wonder was. I'd never heard, maybe some of you heard that before. It was just like a flash in the pan. A very, very big news for a moment, and then, you know, it's like your 5 minutes of fame. They let it drop as a 9 days wonder. In other words, these people heard it, the message of the shepherds. They thought it was amazing. They wondered at it, but then it stopped. Oh, the amazing stupidity of the men of that generation. Justly were the things which belonged to their peace hidden from their eyes, when they thus willfully shut their eyes against them. He's talking about the people 2,000 years ago, the stupidity of the people of that generation. What do you think Matthew Henry, if he was alive, would write about America in 2018? I think it'd be pretty similar words. The stupidity of this generation. You think about Billy Graham's funeral this year, the people that walked past the casket, the people that admired his teaching, they admired his life, but did it change? It changed a multitude. I mean, he probably had more crowns to his credit than any evangelist ever in history, including Paul and all them, other than Paul's effect has gone on for thousands of years. But people heard Billy Graham in those packed stadiums. Hundreds of people responded, but thousands of people didn't. Oh, the stupidity of the generation of these people. They had the gospel right in front of them. They heard the teaching and the message from the shepherds, and they treated it like a flash in the pan. Like, yeah, that's a neat story, but not a whole lot more to it. What he's saying here is the people rejected the shepherd's report and they got what they deserved. They had the message, but they failed to believe it. I put up here, the shepherd's message was heard by all, but not much changed in them at all. Not a whole lot changed in their hearts and their behavior and their responses. Life went on as normal with the child, this Messiah, growing up in their lifetime. Again, it would be neat going back in history, and we can blame them because we have history, we know what happened. But if we went back in that day and we didn't know the story, we would probably be the same way. We would probably doubt the shepherd's story. Maybe think, oh, that is a neat story. The angels appear to you out in the field. That's great. And then go about life as normal. But these people had Jesus growing up in their lifetime, and I thought perhaps as Jesus grew in his 33 years on earth, people probably ran into him, never thought about it, but perhaps when it got to the end of his life and his teaching, and he was coming, and he was about to be crucified, perhaps some people who were there at the crucifixion or at the trial or who were just walking by when he was carrying the cross through the town, I wonder if some of those people questioned, we heard this story 33 years ago. Remember the shepherds were talking about that? Do you remember that? Is this the one? Is this that child? Is this the one that the shepherds were talking about, that he was going to be the Savior? Is this the same guy? Could this be the one. The responsibility of taking the good news, they weren't told to go out and tell everyone. The angels didn't tell them, you must now go out and tell everyone, but they were so amazed by the story, they had to. But the responsibility to share the message was theirs, and it's ours. But the responsibility to change hearts belonged to God. And that's the same thing today. And that's one of the things, as I prayed yesterday and prayed this morning, for this Three Springs ministry. They're doing what God's called them to do. The message was clear. It was a neat story. But they're not going to change hearts. It's God's responsibility to prick the heart of the people who watch that and to respond to it. Only God can turn hearers into believers. And I just want to ask you as we wrap up this morning, how about you? How are you doing in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel? Do people hear it from you? Are we ashamed or embarrassed by the gospel of Christ? Do we love Jesus enough to be his voice and to stand against people who would say, you guys are crazy? Perhaps the shepherds did hear that once in a while. Maybe not everyone wondered at what they said. Perhaps some laughed and said, you know, you guys must have fallen asleep and had a dream together out there in the field. But I want to remind you that people are literally dying to hear this message of Christ. And your responsibility is simply to take that message out. Tell what you heard. You don't need to go and be trained in Bible college. I'm going to tell you, and I've said this many times before, I am not the only pastor in the church. Every one of you is a pastor. Every one of you is a worker of Christ. You might not be the upfront preacher, but every one of you is a pastor somewhere. It's a stay-at-home mom, you're a pastor to your kids. A grandmother, you're a pastor to your grandchildren. You can pray for your kids. A father, you're a pastor to your family. You're a pastor at work. You're a pastor wherever you are. You're God's missionary. And it might just be the ordinary routine job like the shepherds were doing in the field. But God has given you someone to reach. This Christmas season, I just want to challenge you. Tell someone about this child. Tell someone about the Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the shepherds and their example to us that they were just doing the job that you gave them to do. They were doing the work that's what they were trained to do. Nothing spectacular, nothing out of the ordinary. As they went to work that night, they certainly didn't expect what happened to happen. But yet, Lord, they were the men that you chose to speak to, and you gave that good news of the gospel of your Son being the Savior to these untrained workers. But what a work they did that night. And Lord, each one of us here can be shepherds. We don't have to have the education. We don't have to have the training. We don't have to be taught specifically how to share our faith. But we all know what you've done for us. We know the message of the cross. We know the message of Christmas. And Lord, I pray that we would be faithful like the shepherds were in telling people and leaving the results to you, not worrying about the outcome, but just leaving the results to you to work and to change hearers into believers. We'll give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.